Thank you for being a valued supporter of the 10X Podcast Group. Your dedication means the world to us. Today, we bring you a gripping tale titled The Jane Doe Files. Your continued support and subscription fuel our passion for storytelling, and we deeply appreciate every moment you spend with us. So, without further ado, let's dive into today's compelling narrative. The Jane Doe Files, Chapter 1, The Unknown Witness. The sun was just beginning to dip below the horizon when Detective Ellie Harper arrived at the scene. The air was thick with the scent of pine and wet earth, a faint mist curling over the forest floor like ghostly tendrils. The body lay at the edge of the tree line, half hidden by fallen leaves. Crime scene tape fluttered weakly in the breeze, and the hum of low conversation among officers filled the air. Ellie stepped out of her car, her boots crunching against the gravel path as she approached. Her sharp eyes immediately swept the area, cataloging the scene. A young woman, mid-20s perhaps, lay motionless. Her face was obscured by a curtain of dark hair, her clothes torn and muddied, but there were no obvious signs of struggle. It was as if the forest had gently placed her there. "Who found her?" Ellie asked as she ducked under the tape. Officer Tom Merrick, a seasoned cop with a knack for understatement, stepped forward. "Local hikers. They called it in about an hour ago. No ID on her. No purse, no phone. Just this." He held up a clear evidence bag containing an old-fashioned tape recorder. Ellie frowned, taking the bag from him. It was a vintage model, scratched but intact. Strange. People didn't carry tape recorders anymore. She glanced back at the body, her instincts tingling. Something about this scene felt wrong. Staged, even. "What's on it?" she asked. "We haven't played it yet." "Thought you'd want first crack at it," Merrick replied. Ellie nodded, crouching next to the body. Up close, the details painted a clearer picture. No defensive wounds, no visible blood. Her hands were clean, her nails unbroken. The woman looked peaceful, almost serene. But the blank expression on her face told a different story. This wasn't a natural death. "Anything else?" Ellie asked, rising to her feet. Merrick hesitated, then motioned to another evidence bag. Inside was a folded piece of paper, water-stained and smeared with dirt. It was in her jacket pocket, along with a recorder. "We haven't been able to make out much. Just a few words." Ellie took the bag, examining the note through the plastic. The words, "Find me," were scrawled in jagged, uneven handwriting, the ink blurred as if written in haste. Her chest tightened. "Bag up everything and get the body to the morgue," she instructed, handing the evidence back to Merrick. "I'll take the tape recorder with me." Back at the station, Ellie sat alone in her office, the tape recorder on her desk like an artifact from another time. The room was dimly lit, the hum of the fluorescent light above her the only sound. She hesitated for a moment before pressing play. A burst of static filled the room, followed by muffled voices. Ellie leaned forward, straining to make sense of it. The first voice was low, almost a whisper. A second voice, sharper, cut in, but the words were unintelligible. Then, after a long pause, a chilling whisper emerged from the noise. "Find me." Ellie's heart skipped a beat. The voice was soft, female, and carried a desperate edge. She rewound the tape and played it again, this time catching faint background noises, trees rustling, the faint chirp of crickets, and what sounded like distant footsteps. She paused the tape and leaned back in her chair, her mind racing. Who was this woman? What had she meant by "find me"? And why leave this cryptic message instead of calling for help? Ellie's phone buzzed, pulling her from her thoughts. It was the coroner, Dr. Lisa Kim. "I've just started the post-mortem," Lisa said, her voice steady but tinged with curiosity. "It's strange. There's no sign of trauma, no obvious cause of death. Toxicology will take time, but for now, it's like she just stopped." "Stop," Ellie echoed, frowning. "It's as if someone hit pause on her life," Lisa continued. "Oh, and there's one more thing. Her fingerprints don't match any database. She's a complete ghost." Ellie exhaled sharply, the weight of the case settling on her shoulders. "Keep me posted." She hung up and stared at the tape recorder. This wasn't just a random death. Someone had gone to great lengths to ensure this woman couldn't be identified. But why? The next morning, Ellie returned to the forest with a fresh perspective. The scene was eerily quiet, the kind of silence that made her skin prickle. She retraced her steps to where the body had been found, scanning the ground for anything they might have missed. Near the tree line, something caught her eye, a faint indentation in the soft earth, as if someone had knelt there. She crouched down, brushing away the leaves. There was a small piece of fabric snagged on a nearby branch, dark red and frayed. Blood? Or something else? She bagged the fabric and rose to her feet, her gaze drifting deeper into the woods. A strange sensation washed over her, a nagging feeling that the answers lay just out of reach. As she turned to leave, a whisper seemed to float on the wind, "Find me." Ellie froze, her pulse quickening. The words had been so faint, so fleeting, she wasn't sure if she'd actually heard them, or if her mind was playing tricks. Either way, she knew one thing for certain. This case was far from ordinary. And whoever this Jane Doe was, she wasn't going to let Ellie rest until the truth was uncovered. The Jane Doe Files, Chapter 2: Shadows of Past. The steady rhythm of raindrops against her windshield mirrored the storm brewing in Detective Ellie Harper's mind. She had spent the better part of the morning piecing together fragments of information about Jane Doe, but the evidence was like smoke, visible for a moment before slipping through her grasp. The coroner's report offered no answers, and the tape recorder's cryptic message only deepened the mystery. Ellie pulled into the gravel parking lot of the county archives. If Jane Doe was connected to a larger puzzle, perhaps the answer lay in the town's past. The archives were housed in an old, squat building that smelled of mildew and aged paper. Inside, Ellie was greeted by Maggie Thurman, the eccentric archivist who seemed to know every secret the town had ever buried. "Detective Harper," Maggie said, her wiry frame practically vibrating with curiosity. "What brings you here? Another scandal? Or maybe a long-lost treasure?" "Something like that," Ellie replied with a faint smile. "I need to see records on any unsolved murders or disappearances in the area over the last 10 years, particularly anything involving women." Maggie's face fell, her playful demeanor replaced by a solemn expression. "Follow me." Ellie trailed her through rows of filing cabinets and shelves piled high with boxes. Maggie pulled out a thick folder labeled Unsolved Cases and spread its contents across a nearby table. Newspaper clippings, old photos, and handwritten notes painted a grim picture of lives cut short and families left without answers. "This town has its fair share of skeletons," Maggie murmured, sliding a yellowed clipping toward Ellie. "This one might interest you." Ellie's eyes scanned the article. It detailed the disappearance of a young woman named Laura Benning 5 years ago. She had vanished on her way home from work, leaving behind a distraught fiancé and a trail of unanswered questions. The article mentioned that Laura's last known location was near the same forest where Jane Doe had been found. "This can't be a coincidence," Ellie muttered, her pulse quickening. "Do we know if Laura's body was ever recovered?" Maggie shook her head. "No body, no suspects, no resolution. Just another cold case." Ellie's mind raced. Was Jane Doe somehow connected to Laura Benning? Or was this merely a coincidence designed to distract her? She thanked Maggie and gathered the files, determined to dig deeper. Back at the station, Ellie spread out the case files across her desk, her coffee long gone cold as she immersed herself in the details. The similarities between Laura Benning's case and Jane Doe's were uncanny. Both young women, both last seen near the forest, and both vanishing without a trace. But one detail in Laura's file caught Ellie's attention, a witness statement from a local politician, Mayor Henry Caldwell. Ellie's stomach tightened. Caldwell was a fixture in the community, known for his philanthropy and polished demeanor. But Ellie had learned long ago that polished exteriors often hid dark secrets. She grabbed her coat and headed for City Hall. Mayor Caldwell's office was as grand and imposing as the man himself. Framed certificates adorned the walls, and the scent of leather and polish would fill the air. Caldwell greeted Ellie with a warm smile that didn't quite reach his eyes. "Detective Harper," he said, motioning for her to sit. "To what do I owe this unexpected visit?" Ellie remained standing. "I'm looking into the disappearance of Laura Benning and its possible connection to a body we found recently. I understand you gave a statement at the time of Laura's disappearance." Caldwell's smile faltered, but he recovered quickly. "Ah, yes. Tragic case. Laura was a bright young woman. I remember seeing her briefly the day she disappeared, but I'm afraid I couldn't offer much insight back then. Do you recall why you were near the forest that day?" Ellie pressed, watching him closely. Caldwell's gaze flickered, a brief crack in his composure. "I was attending a community event nearby. You know how it is, always a reason to show face." Ellie nodded, but didn't look away. Do you remember anything unusual? Anyone following Laura? Strange vehicles in the area? Caldwell shook his head. I wish I could be more helpful, detective, but I'm afraid I don't have anything new to add. I hope you find the answers you're looking for. As Ellie left his office, she couldn't shake the feeling that Caldwell was hiding something. His answers had been too rehearsed, his demeanor too controlled. She filed the interaction away for later, headed to the morgue. Dr. Lisa Kim was waiting for Ellie in the brightly lit lab, her usual professional demeanor replaced by a hint of unease. I found something, Lisa said, handing Ellie a plastic evidence bag. Inside was a small metallic pin engraved with a strange symbol, a triangle with an eye in the center. It was lodged in the lining of Jane Doe's jacket. I've never seen anything like it. Ellie examined the pin, her fingers brushing over the cold metal. Could this be a clue? Or a message? Lisa shrugged. Your guess is as good as mine. But if this symbol means something, it could be a key to identifying her or her killer. Ellie tucked the pin into her pocket, her mind spinning with possibilities. Between the mysterious tape, Laura Benning's cold case, and Mayor Caldwell's evasiveness, the pieces of the puzzle were beginning to take shape. But the more she uncovered, the clearer it became that someone didn't want her to find the truth. As she drove home that night, rain pelted against her windshield, and the shadows of the past seemed to creep closer. Jane Doe's whispered plea echoed in her mind, "Find me." Ellie clenched the steering wheel, her resolve hardening. She would find Jane Doe's killer, no matter the cost. The Jane Doe Files, Chapter 3, The Whispering Forest. Detective Ellie Harper tightened her jacket against the cold morning air as she stood at the edge of the forest where Jane Doe had been found. The sun was just rising, casting long shadows across the ground. Despite the beauty of the scene, an oppressive silence hung over the area, as if the forest itself was withholding its secrets. Ellie had returned to the site hoping for a breakthrough. The fabric scrap found near the body and the metallic pin discovered in Jane Doe's jacket weren't enough. Something was missing, something she was sure could only be uncovered here. Are you sure you don't want backup? Officer Tom Merrick's voice crackled through her radio. I'm fine, Merrick, Ellie replied. I just need some quiet to think. The radio went silent, and Ellie began her search. She retraced the same path as before, her eyes scanning the ground for anything out of place. Her instincts pulled her deeper into the woods, where the trees grew closer together, their twisted branches forming a canopy that blocked out much of the light. As she walked, Ellie noticed faint markings on the ground, footprints partially obscured by fallen leaves. The prints were small, likely a woman's, and led toward a dense cluster of trees. She followed them cautiously, her hand resting on the grip of her sidearm. The footprints ended abruptly in a clearing. In the center stood an old, weathered cabin, its wooden planks warped and moss-covered. Ellie's heart quickened. The cabin wasn't on any of the maps she'd reviewed. It was as though it had been deliberately hidden. She approached slowly, the boards creaking under her boots as she stepped onto the porch. The door was ajar, revealing a dark interior that smelled of damp wood and decay. Ellie hesitated, her fingers brushing the flashlight clipped to her belt. She drew it and clicked it on, the beam cutting through the shadows as she pushed the door open wider. The interior was sparse, a single room with a cot in one corner and a rickety table in the center. Papers were scattered across the table, along with a stack of cassette tapes. Ellie's breath caught as she recognized the same vintage design as the recorder found on Jane Doe. She picked up one of the tapes and examined it. The label was blank, but a smudged fingerprint marred its surface. Ellie placed it in her evidence bag and turned her attention to the papers. Most were covered in scribbled notes, phrases that sent chills down her spine. They're watching. No one is safe. Trust no one. At the bottom of the stack, Ellie found a map of the town with several locations circled in red. One of the circles was around the forest. Another was over City Hall. Her pulse quickened. Whoever had left these notes had been tracking something, or someone. The connection to City Hall made her mind immediately jump to Mayor Henry Caldwell. Was he involved in this after all? Or was he simply another pawn in a larger game? Ellie pocketed the map and turned her attention to the tapes. She selected one at random, inserted it into her portable player, and hit play. The tape crackled to life, the familiar hiss of static filling the room. Then came a voice, faint but clear. They're coming. I don't have much time. If you find this, you need to know the truth. They'll do anything to cover it up. The voice paused, replaced by the sound of heavy breathing. Then, after a long silence, "Find me." Ellie's hand tightened around the player. The voice was the same as the one on the first tape, but this time there was more urgency, more fear. The message ended with a loud thud and a sharp, blood-curdling scream that made Ellie's blood run cold. She quickly stopped the tape and stared at the recorder, her mind racing. Who was this woman? What had she uncovered that made her such a target? Ellie's thoughts were interrupted by the crunch of leaves outside. She froze, her hand instinctively moving to her gun. The sound grew louder, closer, until it was right outside the cabin door. "Who's there?" Ellie called out, her voice steady despite the adrenaline surging through her veins. There was no response. She moved to the door, her gun drawn, and peeked outside. The clearing was empty. The forest was eerily still, the only sound her own breathing. She stepped onto the porch, her senses on high alert. A twig snapped to her left, and Ellie spun toward the sound, her weapon raised. But again, there was nothing. "Get a grip, Harper," she muttered under her breath, lowering her gun. But as she turned to re-enter the cabin, she noticed something on the ground, a fresh footprint, larger than the one she'd followed earlier. Someone had been there, watching her. Ellie's heart pounded as she backed into the cabin and shut the door. Whoever it was, they wanted her to know she wasn't alone. Back at the station, Ellie locked herself in her office and replayed the tape, searching for any background noises or clues she might have missed. She noted the timestamp on the recording, barely a month old. That meant the woman on the tape had been alive recently, possibly even when Jane Doe was found. She pulled out the map she'd taken from the cabin and examined the circled locations. One in particular stood out, a small abandoned factory on the outskirts of town. It wasn't far from the forest, and its proximity to the crime scene was too coincidental to ignore. Ellie called Merrick and asked him to meet her at the factory first thing in the morning. She didn't trust anyone else with what she was uncovering, not yet. As she hung up the phone, she caught her reflection in the darkened window. For a brief moment, she thought she saw a figure standing behind her, but when she spun around, the room was empty. The weight of the case pressed down on her like never before. Jane Doe wasn't just a victim, she was a messenger. And whatever message she'd left behind was about to change everything. The Jane Doe Files, Chapter 4 Echoes of Betrayal. The old factory loomed in the early morning mist, its rusted exterior a grim testament to years of abandonment. Detective Ellie Harper pulled her car to a stop just outside the chain-link fence, her headlights cutting through the fog. The building's windows were shattered, and ivy crept up its crumbling walls like nature's way of reclaiming what had been forgotten. Merrick was already there, leaning against his squad car, a steaming cup of coffee in hand. He straightened when Ellie stepped out of her vehicle. "Looks like something out of a horror movie," he said, his usual sarcasm doing little to hide the unease in his voice. Ellie nodded, scanning the area. The factory was one of the locations circled on the map she'd found in the cabin, and her gut told her it wasn't a random coincidence. "Let's see if it lives up to the reputation," she replied, pulling out her flashlight. The two officers approached the factory, ducking under the sagging fence. The air was heavy with the smell of rust and decay, and every step echoed ominously on the cracked pavement. Ellie pushed open the factory door, the rusty hinges groaning in protest. Inside, the factory was a labyrinth of shadow machinery and forgotten debris. Dust motes floated in the air, illuminated by shafts of light streaming through the broken windows. Ellie's flashlight swept the room, revealing graffiti-covered walls and scattered papers. "What exactly are we looking for?" Merrick asked, his voice low. "Anything that connects this place to Jane Doe or Laura Benning," Ellie replied, moving deeper into the factory. The search was painstaking, each corner of the factory yielding little more than abandoned tools and trash. But as Ellie moved toward a stairwell leading to the basement, a faint sound caught her attention. It was soft, almost imperceptible, like a muffled cry. She held up a hand, signaling Merrick to stop. "You hear that?" Merrick tilted his head, listening. "Yeah. Sounds like it's coming from below." The two of them descended the creaking stairs, their flashlights slicing through the darkness. The basement was colder, the air damp and stale. The faint cry grew louder, leading them to a door at the far end of the corridor. Ellie's pulse quickened as she reached for the handle. The door swung open to reveal a small, windowless room. In the center was a table covered in photographs, newspaper clippings, and a map eerily similar to the one Ellie had found in the cabin. But what caught her attention was a tape recorder sitting in the middle of the table, a fresh tape inside. "Looks like someone's been expecting us," Merrick muttered, his eyes scanning the room. Ellie pressed play, bracing herself for what she might hear. Static filled the room, followed by a woman's voice, the same voice from the previous tapes. "They know. They're everywhere. You can't trust anyone, not the police, not the mayor, not even your friends. If you found this, you're in danger too. But you can still stop them. Follow the map. Find the truth." The tape ended abruptly, leaving Ellie and Merrick in stunned silence. Ellie's mind raced. "Not the police? Not even your friends? What the hell does that mean?" Merrick asked, his voice laced with confusion and anger. Ellie didn't answer. She was too busy examining the photographs on the table. Most were grainy and poorly lit, but one stood out, a clear image of Mayor Henry Caldwell shaking hands with a man in a dark suit. Scribbled across the bottom of the photo were the words, "The Architect of Lies." Ellie's stomach turned. Caldwell was definitely involved, but the tape's cryptic warning had planted a seed of doubt in her mind. Could someone within the police department be part of this too? And if so, who? Back at the station, Ellie locked herself in her office. The photo of Caldwell spread out on her desk along with the notes and map from the cabin. She couldn't shake the feeling that she was missing something, a vital piece of the puzzle that tied everything together. Her thoughts were interrupted by a knock at the door. It was Merrick, his face pale and drawn. "We've got a problem," he said, stepping inside and shutting the door behind him. "I ran the fingerprints from the fabric we found near Jane Doe. They match Laura Benning." Ellie froze. "Are you sure?" "Positive. Jane Doe and Laura Benning are the same person." The revelation hit Ellie like a punch to the gut. Laura hadn't vanished 5 years ago. She'd been hiding. But why had she resurfaced now? And why had she been killed? Before Ellie could respond, Mara continued. "There's more. The pin we found in her jacket? It's part of a secret society, something old, underground. My contact at the FBI says it's tied to corruption at the highest levels. Politicians, law enforcement, even judges. If Laura was connected to them." She knew something she wasn't supposed to, Ellie finished, her voice barely above a whisper. "That's why she was killed." Merrick nodded grimly. "And if the tapes are right, we're stepping on dangerous ground." That night, Ellie sat in her dimly lit apartment, the weight of the case pressing down on her. Laura Benning had been running from something, or someone powerful enough to keep her hidden for years. But she'd left the tapes, the map, and the clues for a reason. She'd wanted Ellie to find the truth. But the question remained, who could Ellie trust? Her thoughts were interrupted by her phone buzzing on the table. It was a text from an unknown number. "Stop digging, or you'll end up like her." Ellie's blood ran cold. She stared at the message, her mind spinning. Someone was watching her, tracking her every move. But if they thought a threat would stop her, they were wrong. Ellie Harper didn't back down from a fight. And she wasn't about to start now. The Jane Doe Files, Chapter 5, Vengeance in the Dark. The text message lingered on Detective Ellie Harper's phone screen, the words searing into her mind, "Stop digging, or you'll end up like her." For a moment, she sat frozen, her thoughts racing. Whoever had sent it knew she was getting close, and they were desperate to stop her. Ellie took a deep breath, forcing herself to focus. Fear wouldn't help her now. If anything, it confirmed what she already suspected. This case went deeper than she'd imagined. She deleted the message, knowing her next steps needed to be calculated and precise. The shadow she was chasing wasn't just watching her. It was circling, waiting for a chance to strike. The next morning, Ellie met Merrick at the station. His expression was grave, his usual humor replaced with a heavy tension. "I traced the burner phone used to send you that message," Merrick said, placing a file on her desk. "It pinged off a tower near City Hall." Ellie clenched her jaw. "Of course. Caldwell." Merrick hesitated. "Ellie, if Caldwell's involved, we're not just dealing with corruption. We're dealing with people who can bury us, and not just our careers." Ellie looked up at him, her eyes hard. Laura Benning didn't back down. She left those tapes, that map, because she knew someone had to expose the truth. "I'm not going to let her down. If Caldwell's our next lead, we take the risk." Merrick sighed, running a hand through his hair. Then we do this smart. We get what we need, and we don't give them a chance to see us coming. The mayor's secrets. Ellie and Merrick drove to City Hall under the guise of following up on a zoning inquiry. With Merrick keeping watch, Ellie slipped into Caldwell's office and began her search. The room was immaculate, almost sterile, with not a single paper out of place. But Ellie knew that if Caldwell was hiding something, it wouldn't be in plain sight. She moved to the desk, rifling through drawers. At first, there was nothing, just files, stationery, and innocuous correspondence. Then, in the bottom drawer, she found a locked box. Her heart quickened. She pulled a small set of lockpicks from her pocket, a skill she'd picked up in her early days as a detective, and went to work. The lock clicked open with a satisfying snap. Inside the box were documents and photographs that made her blood run cold. They depicted secret meetings between Caldwell and several high-profile figures in the town, including the police commissioner. There were bank statements showing large, unexplained transfers to offshore accounts, and a list of names, some crossed out, others circled in red. At the top of the list was Laura Benning. Ellie snapped photos of everything, her hands trembling as she worked. She was about to close the box when she noticed a small USB drive tucked into the corner. She pocketed it and replaced everything exactly as she'd found it. The USB revelation. Back at the station, Ellie plugged the USB drive into her laptop. The files it contained painted a picture of a secret organization operating in the shadows of the town. Codenamed the Circle, the group was a network of powerful individuals using their positions to manipulate elections, embezzle funds, and silence anyone who got too close to exposing them. One file stood out, a video labeled Project Go, Testimony 917. Ellie clicked on it, her stomach churning. The video showed Laura Benning sitting in a dimly lit room, her face pale but defiant. "My name is Laura Benning," she began, her voice steady despite the fear in her eyes. "If you're watching this, it means they've found me, and I didn't make it. But you need to know what they're doing. The Circle is controlling everything. Our police, our politicians, even the courts. I uncovered their financial records, their meetings, and their crimes. I recorded everything. It's all on the tapes." Laura paused, her gaze piercing the camera. "They'll come after you too, just like they came after me. But don't let them win. Find the truth. Expose them. Make them pay." The video ended abruptly, leaving Ellie staring at the screen in silence. Laura had known her fate, and she'd still fought to uncover the truth. It was a level of courage Ellie couldn't ignore. The trap. Ellie shared the evidence with Merrick, and together they planned their next move. Caldwell had to be confronted, but it couldn't be done alone. Ellie arranged a meeting with an FBI contact she trusted, Agent Rachel Torres, who agreed to back them up. The plan was simple. Lure Caldwell into a public space, confront him with the evidence, and force his hand. But Ellie knew it wouldn't be that easy. People like Caldwell didn't go down without a fight. That evening, Ellie received another text. "You've made your choice. Now face the consequences." She ignored it, her resolve unshaken. The confrontation took place at a charity gala Caldwell was hosting at a luxury hotel. Ellie and Merrick arrived dressed for the occasion, blending into the crowd as they waited for the right moment. Caldwell was all smiles, shaking hands and giving speeches as if he hadn't a care in the world. When the opportunity arose, Ellie approached him, her voice low. "We need to talk." Caldwell's smile didn't falter, but his eyes hardened. "Detective Harper, how lovely to see you. Shall we step outside?" They moved to a private corner of the garden, Merrick trailing a few steps behind. Ellie pulled out her phone, showing Caldwell the photos of the documents she'd found in his office. "Care to explain this?" she asked. Caldwell's expression darkened. "You've overstepped, detective. You have no idea who you're dealing with." Ellie took a step closer. "I know exactly who I'm dealing with, a coward who hides behind power and money. But your time is up." Before Caldwell could respond, a sharp crack echoed through the garden. Ellie ducked instinctively, her hand going to her gun. Merrick shouted, "Sniper," as chaos erupted. The aftermath. In the end, Caldwell was arrested, but not before the sniper's bullet struck him in the shoulder. The FBI raid uncovered more members of the Circle, exposing the web of corruption Laura Benning had died trying to reveal. Ellie stood in the aftermath, the weight of the case finally lifting. Laura's voice echoed in her mind, "Find the truth. Expose them. Make them pay." Ellie had done just that, but the cost had been steep. As she left the scene, Ellie looked up at the night sky. Justice had been served, but the darkness surrounding the circle still lingered. There were more names on that list, more battles to fight. And Ellie Harper wasn't done yet.